darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. We got some new folks in studio with us. The quarterback of the AFR production department is in today. Jeff is out for the moment. I haven't given him a fancy nickname yet. I got to work on it, Jonathan. But we also have your friendly neighborhood Woodaholic, perpetually in recovery, aiding us with the video for today's edition of the program. And we are grateful that you have once again welcomed us into your hearts, into your homes or your cars. Because right now, at this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, because what goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House. And in fact, we're going to talk a lot about that during today's program. I want to ask you to strap in, stick with us for the whole program, because things are happening in the country that you need to be aware about. There was a critical case that went before the U.S. Supreme Court Wednesday. Oral arguments took place on Wednesday. The decision concerning this matter will be released sometime. We're expecting it to be released sometime in June. But this is something you need to be aware of. And it really goes right down to what is happening in our homes. There are a lot of things we can give attention to. There are a lot of things happening all over the world. You know, as I said to you guys on Wednesday as well, I wasn't too comfortable with that so-called peace deal. And apparently neither was Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, because he has expressed his objection to it. And frankly, what it all comes down to, it was a deal that was more favorable to Hamas, that allowed Hamas an opportunity to rebound, which, you know, last I checked, the objective that Israel had, objective number one, secure the hostages' return to their homes. Objective number two, decimate Hamas. Those objectives must be pursued. But before we get into any of those things and all of the foolishness du jour, I want to spend some time in the Word of God, as we do on a daily basis, because it is imperative that we have our hearts and minds framed according to the Word of God before we endeavor to navigate the issues of the day. When we're talking about what goes on in your home being more important than what goes on in the White House, it's vitally important that we understand ministry is supposed to start at home. Ministry is supposed to start at home. The first human institution that God established was the family, with marriage at the center. Husbands, your first ministry responsibility is your wife before you get to anything else. Wife, your first ministry responsibility is your husband before you get to anything else. I know we have people listening to the program who are in all various walks of life. And this is not to ignore or to denigrate your particular station in life, because God knows exactly where you are. But there is a prevalent portion of our society who are in marital unions and don't understand the significance that God places on family and how that should inform our engagement in the society around us. Husbands and wives, your first ministry responsibility as a couple, before you get to anything else, is your children, if you have children still in your home. That is first. It's very easy to allow these primary responsibilities to be neglected if we are not intentional in pursuing them. And so among the things that I want to encourage you to do today, the first of them, in addition to your personal commitment and devotion to the Lord and your personal time with him, is to let today be the day to where you lead your home in family devotions. Fathers, lead your family in worship. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be long. You can literally spend some time singing a hymn and simply read a portion of scripture. And in doing so, communicate the significance and the primacy that the Word of God and worship of God plays in your family's lives. We will never, as a society, be able to out-politic or even out church, deficiencies that abound in the home. We cannot afford to allow the home to be neglected, ignored, and reduced to tertiary consideration. No, your full-time jobs, just like my full-time job, is outcome cultivation. Income generation is part-time. God knows we need resources to live, but that is not our identities, nor should it consume us as if it is our exclusive or primary responsibility. It's secondary. Outcome cultivation is our primary responsibility. To the Word of God we go. Colossians chapter 3 is where we're going to go. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Just a couple things I want to mention, and I've mentioned before. This is an epistle of the Apostle Paul, but it is a unique one because the Apostle Paul didn't plant the church at Colossae as that concept is commonly understood. In fact, the labor of a man by the name of Epaphras is what led to the birthing of the church, of a church in Colossae. Colossae is located in the southwest portion of what is modern-day Turkey. All right, real city at a real time. And the epistle was written at about 62 A.D. in the first century. All right? And so Paul is writing to a community of people, a community of believers who are not necessarily steeped in the history of Yahweh worship. But what happened, as we understand it, Epaphras heard the gospel proclaimed. The Lord opened his heart to salvation. And Epaphras went back to his hometown and shared what God was doing in him. And by God's sovereign grace, through Epaphras' testimony, the Lord opened the hearts of others in Colossae, and a church was formed. Well, understanding that this was a largely Gentile area, steeped in first century Roman culture, paganism, frankly, including, how shall I say this, personal ethics or the lack thereof. And it is with that in mind that the Apostle Paul pens the words I'm going to read to you now. If then, Paul is writing, Colossians chapter 3. I don't know if I said that yet. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, so some translations there will say, set your affections on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is adultery. The Apostle Paul goes on in the same chapter to articulate the phenomenon, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, identifying various areas of the flesh where the Lord requires us as believers in him to agree with him in the sanctification process, to where we willfully agree to put away the things that are earthly. But I want to go back to the beginning. So Paul is presenting in verse 1 this as a rhetorical device. He's not asking the question as if he doesn't know the answer. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things which are above. He's presenting that rhetorically to the Colossian believers. If you have been raised with Christ, then you no longer are obligated to live life according to the fleshly plane exclusively. No, you have the capacity now, being in Christ, to seek those things which are above. Then in verse 2, set your minds. What the King James says, set your affections. The Greek word there is phroneo, which that one word includes the intellectual capacity and the emotive capacity. That's why some translations say minds. King James says affections. It's really both all in one word. But the phenomenon that Paul is articulating is that now that you are in Christ, you are no longer of the first Adam's lineage or bloodline, but you have been transmuted, if you will, into the bloodline of the second Adam. So now you have the wherewithal as a result of being indwelled by the Spirit of God to do something that you never could have done before. Now you have the ability to set your phroneo, your mind, your intellectual capacity, and your emotive functioning. You get to set it as opposed to being set by it. If we are in Christ, brothers and sisters, we are no longer casualties of a mind that runs to and fro, but we can direct our minds in a God-honoring and a God-ordered manner. Set your phroneo, your mind, your affections. Verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Paul goes on then to verse 5. In light of all of this, because you are in Christ, because you have been raised with him, because you had the wherewithal as a result of being indwelled by the Spirit of God, where you can set your mind, set your affection, set your phroneo, then look at verse 5. Put to death, therefore. Or some translations say, mortify, therefore, what is earthly in you. One of the major things that is kind of a point of contention, and I think people misunderstand this very well, very frequently, I should say, is that God has not called the believer, let me say it this way, God has called the believer to mortify the flesh, not to manage it, not to manage the flesh. We shouldn't establish, you know, a comfortable quantity or a comfortable modicum of fleshliness where we're okay living with. You know, yeah, we know it's wrong, but, you know, God is full of grace, you know, using grace, as Jude pointed out, as a justification for licentiousness. See, one of the key factors and key indicators of us being in Christ and born again is that our sin bothers us. That we're not comfortable with it. We're not okay with it. We don't come up with comfortable justifications and excuses for allowing sin to run rampant over our lives. And I don't want anybody to misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not an advocate for some heretical doctrine of perfectionism. Being in Christ doesn't mean that you become instantaneously or perpetually sinless. But being in Christ does mean that you sin less. One of the major features of being captured by Christ is that our own sin is grievous to us. We mourn our own sin. We lament our own sin, which drives us towards repentance. But many have used grace as an excuse or a justification to become fleshly, flesh managers, to where, you know, we'll gossip. You know, I'm just informing my friends. No, that's gossip. When you're talking about people and they're not physically present, that's gossip. It's gossip. You're running it out. Oh, I just want to make sure Jonathan is informed. By the way, Jonathan, did you know? And on the converse side, we got lots of people that's nosy. I'm not just trying to be like to messy talk, but these are terms we use, nosy, beginning. Just make sure everybody's up to date, up to speed. But those are euphemisms that that cover sin. Gossip will tear a local assembly apart, will tear a family apart. One just helpful tactic. If the person is out there, it's probably best that you don't talk about them. If you're not talking to them, you're probably better not to talk about them. That's just one indication. Of course, I'm going beyond that. But I'm using it as an example of kind of a managerial disposition concerning sin that people are content with. But Paul said, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And at the very beginning of when he begins to tick off earthliness, he says sexual immorality. The Greek term there is porneia, to where we get our English word pornography from. The condemnation or the rejection of porneia includes, obviously, fornication and adultery, but not only that. Giving our eyes to things that we should not, Paul goes on. Impurity, passion, evil desire, evil concupiscence. The word passion is from the Greek term akatharsia, which is inordinate affection. See, Christ came not only to conform our conduct, but to change the attitudes and intentions of our heart, not merely to conform us at a behavior level, but for us to reflect his glory at a desire level. We have that ability in Christ. Simply put, Christ has not called his body, his members of his body, to manage flesh. He's called us to mortify it. And this is something that we are invited to agree with him, join him in doing actively. Put to death what is earthly within you.
Maybe you've heard that AFA has a streaming platform, AFA Stream. Maybe you've just not thought about it. Maybe you're happy with the streaming platforms you already have. Would you consider giving AFA Stream a chance? What is on AFA Stream? Documentaries, educational material, some entertainment. If you want some spiritual inspiration, if you want to grow more in Jesus, then consider giving us a visit at AFA Stream on Roku or at stream.afa.net.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here, and I am delighted to have on the program with me a person. She may not know I'm going to say this, but I can describe her as a homegirl because she's from my neck of the woods. I am talking about Representative Lori Schlegel, who is the state representative in the Louisiana House of Representatives for District 82. Representative Schlegel is the chairwoman of the House Education Committee for the 2024 to 2028 term. She's also vice chair of the Women's Caucus. She's a licensed professional counselor in Old Jefferson, Louisiana, and who lives in the Metairie area. She has a Master of Arts in Marriage and Family Counseling from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, where she earned a 4.0 GPA. She also is a graduate, magna cum laude graduate from Louisiana State University, also known as LSU. Go Tigers. And she is also a summa cum laude graduate from Dominican High School in New Orleans. And I was talking to her before we got on the air. If you're not from New Orleans, you don't know why it's important to put high schools in your bio. But if you're from New Orleans, you know. And now you know. Representative Schlegel, thank you so much for joining me here on the Hamilton Corner.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
It is truly my pleasure for a host of reasons, but one of the main reasons that just Wednesday, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case concerning age verification laws that are necessary in order for minors to access pornography. And what the objective of the laws are, and I'm saying laws plural, because you led a move that resulted in 18 additional states following Louisiana's lead to adopt a law that seeks to protect minors from, frankly, the smut that is online. So I want to take a little bit of time to invite you to just educate us on, one, what is the age verification law that was passed in Louisiana that you really pioneered that work in Louisiana? And then, two, I want to ask the question about your motivation. What drove you to pursue this legislation?
Sure. So I was elected in a special election in 2021. I wasn't really planning on running for office, but the opportunity presented itself, and so I ran and won. And it was that year. So I am a licensed professional counselor. I'm also a certified sex addiction therapist. So that's what I do in my professional life. I help people who are struggling with pornography and compulsive sexual behavior. Was never planning at all right out of the gate to tackle an issue like this. But it was December of 2021, and I was reading an article about Billie Eilish, and she was on the Howard Stern show, and she was sharing with him that since 11 years old, she had been watching pornography, and it really negatively impacted her life. And I was just so struck by a young woman of her stature having a conversation of Howard Stern, no less, on the negative effects of pornography. And so it just struck me, and I was like, you know what? I want to look at this issue. So, but I knew that, you know, obviously we had the laws had not been allowed to ever take effect, age verification, because they did attempt to do this in the 90s and the early 2000s. So I went on a search to see if the technology was available that you could give somebody's course age without giving any kind of identifying information, because I wanted to make sure, you know, we protected people's privacy, because I promise you I care more about people's privacy than the porn industry does. And so I went on a search and found out, so a few years before I came into the legislature, they had passed what's called LA Wallet, and that's Louisiana's digitalized ID. It's not run by the government. It's our third-party vendor has the access to be able to use. So now, like on our phones, we have a digitalized ID. And so I went to them and I said, hey, is it possible for you to remotely verify somebody's age and just give the course age, not even give like the birth date or how old they are, just that, yes, they're over 18. And they said, yes, it's possible. So When I knew that that was possible, I then went to consult with constitutional lawyers, because I know when you're dealing with pornography, you're dealing with the First Amendment. And so I wanted to make sure, is there a path that we could not make it unduly burdensome to adults to access their First Amendment rights, but then also protect minors? And so that led to drafting HB 142, which what it does is it prevents minors from entering pornography sites. And because right now, and we know, like, now the average age is between 10 and 12 that people see early exposure to pornography. And so now it kind of, it blocks minors from accessing, but it allows adults to access their First Amendment rights. And so that was HB 142.
Now, I mean, and I said this to you off the air, the simple facts are, and this, some of this information may be startling for people to hear, but pornography is destroying our country. It is wreaking havoc in families. You know, I would challenge anyone to find a more pro-life person than me. And what the not-so-secret secret is, that the overwhelming majority for the intentional slaughter of unborn children, we have murders for convenience, and it's connected, frankly, to sexual immorality, generally speaking. Of course, there are exceptions. I don't want to paint over broad, but I've shared on this program the reasons from, like, the Guttmacher Institute why moms made the decision to murder their unborn children. And the majority of the top five of the six reasons are all convenience reasons. Not ready to have a child, you know, other things. You don't get to the whole notions of incest, you know, rape and things of that nature. And that represents less than, you know, 1% of the quantity of children who were slaughtered. But it's connected to sexual immorality. When you see this, and this is going to be astounding for people, but the top three pornography sites in the United States of America receive more web traffic annually than Netflix, Amazon, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and TikTok combined. And as you rightly pointed out, many people are being caught up in this as adolescents, as reading, learning your background and bio as a licensed professional counselor. In your professional life, you've had circumstances where you've treated children, the youngest being 8 years old. Would you share a little bit about that experience? Obviously, without going into the details of your treatment, but just the reality that this is wreaking havoc in the lives of children in our country.
Yeah. So what we know, like, conclusively, research shows that pornography is harmful to kids. Mm-hmm. So we know that. And what they're seeing, and I say it, and it's interesting because one of the Supreme Court justices yesterday sort of alluded to the same sentiment, is that this isn't your daddy's Playboy. What our kids are seeing are hardcore pornography, you know, topics of gangbang, rape, teen sex. What they're seeing is not what a lot of people think when they think of pornography, especially depending on what kind of generation you grew up in. And so we know that it's harming kids, and we know that they can just literally see it by clicks away. It takes seconds to access this material, and the pornography websites don't block it whatsoever when it comes to minors. And so that was also part of when I passed HB 142, because I knew I needed the body to be educated around it and what our kids are actually seeing and how it's harming them. And so it's not seen as some partisan issue, you know, since I am a Republican and at the time we had a Democratic governor. And so what I did is I had Gail Dines, who is a expert in pornography, come and talk to the Women's Caucus, did a webinar where we invited all of the senators and the state reps to come and hear of, like, what are they actually seeing. And so I remember after that, there were so many people who were like, I want to help. I want to support you in this. I want to be a co-author. I mean, we had 48 additional co-authors, Republicans, Democrats. It passed almost unanimously in our legislature. It did pass unanimous in the Senate. Because once you really understand what our kids are seeing, how it's harming them, you can't sit back and do nothing.
And I think a lot of people are not aware that just because we have elected officials, they're not experts in everything. And so there's often the educational effort that has to take place in order to get them on board to be able to support a particular measure. And so in terms of educating, you know, the Louisiana legislature, the 39 state senators and I believe 144 state representatives, was that process a challenging one for you? Was the webinar and the luncheon that you hosted sufficient? Or what was it like educating the body concerning this issue before your bill made it to the floor?
Yeah, so we had on the webinar, we had males, female reps and senators. We had African Americans. And I remember, too, so some of our female senators who are part of the minority party, I remember when Gayle Dines was even talking about how even just inherently racist a lot of the pornography is. Mm-hmm. You know, it just opens people's eyes to actually what our kids are seeing and how it really does change how they view sexuality. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of research shows that 90% of the mainstream pornography shows some aggression towards women. So this is what our little boys and girls are growing up seeing, because now the internet, I mean, with the iPhone and the iPad, it's just changed where now, like, even if you put filters on your devices at home, your kids are exposed to so many other devices, you know, and that's where the filtering, while I think is part of the, you could put this as part of the solution, has not prevented our kids from accessing pornography. And that's why I felt like age verification was now the most effective and least restrictive to be able to protect our children.
Mm. In terms of the things that you've seen in your own practice, helping people navigate this particular area, including even like children with early exposure, what are some of the examples you can maybe enlighten our audience with in describing how it's detrimentally shaped the perspectives of children who are exposed to this stuff?
Yeah, so a lot of the research shows, and again, because I like to make sure people know it's grounded, not in just my opinion, but
yes.
Like there is research that has conclusively shown this. I mean, it can affect with anxiety and depression. And so, like I said before, what the research has conclusively shown, so it's not even just my opinion or my experience, is that material harmful to minors, pornography does harm our kids, and in ways of anxiety, depression, how it shapes their sexuality, in boys for aggression, and girls maybe more likely to become a victim of sexual assault. And so we know that it's really harmful to children, and that's why I think you're seeing so many states come in and try to stand up for their children.
Yeah, and it's important to note, I mean, Louisiana was first, but then, you know, Utah, Mississippi, Virginia, Arkansas, Texas, I have the list right here, Montana, North Carolina, Idaho, Kansas, Kentucky, Nebraska, Indiana, Alabama, Oklahoma, Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia have all passed legislation similar to what was passed in Louisiana. And so what can we deduce from the fact that not only did were your colleagues in the state legislature in Louisiana moved by what you presented to educate the body, but legislatures across the country are recognizing these same problems.
Yeah, and so I say what it does is it underscores how big the problem is. Mm. Because unfortunately, in today's political climate, you don't see Republicans and Democrats joining together to solve issues. But on this one, we are. And in most of the states, they all pass bipartisan. Mm. And if you recognize on how short of a time that 18 other states have passed these laws, because it was in 2023 in January when our law became enacted. And that's mm-hmm. sort of when the whole nation sort of heard about.
And that's when the nation started to learn about this issue, right?
That's correct. Someone actually tweeted on January 1st, I guess they went to Pornhub. And that's when they had the landing page that now that they were doing age verification.
And so that is noteworthy because, as you mentioned, they had to put this new thing on their landing page. I know in other states they stop allowing their smut to be accessed in those states because of this law. Is that right?
That's correct. So actually on their landing page, it says how it takes less than 1 minute, you know, for obviously a minor to be blocked for, and then for an adult to access, you know, all the pornography in the world. So it's not unduly burdensome to adults. Mm-hmm. And that's the argument that we made. But afterwards, yes, Pornhub decided to pull out of all the other states that have enacted age verification. I guess they decided to switch a strategy.
What are some of the penalties that can be imposed as a result of the law that you led to get passed in Louisiana?
So they have two parts. So a private right of action, if a parent wanted to bring upon a lawsuit to a company that's not complying. And then we also have AG enforcement, which will be civil penalties for each day that a company is not doing age verification.
Mm. And so, like, these large pornographers are making the decision, they're doing business decisions to avoid violating the law, frankly, and having to pay these pretty significant fines that pile up day by day. They're deciding just to withdraw or to comply with the law, right?
That's correct. And so Texas is enforcing their law because obviously their law was upheld at the Fifth Circuit. Ours is still at the district court level. And my understanding is that AG Paxton has brought some lawsuits to some of these companies that were not complying in his state. So it's working. What it shows, I mean, actually all of our states, is what it shows it's working. In our state where the largest pornography website Pornhub is complying, it's blocking minors from accessing it, and then they also made the choice to withdraw, but that is their business choice. That is not a choice that we're banning pornography. I know that's sort of the narrative that some of the pornography advocates are saying, but no, that was their choice to pull out of these states.
And it's just, and I know, and I'm not asking you to comment on this, but there was a time in our nation's history, and it just indicates how things have changed, because previously obscenity laws prohibited this stuff, but then you had later litigation, and then you had Supreme Court precedent changes. And so now, as you mentioned earlier, it's described within the ambit of First Amendment rights. And the simple fact is, just because something is legal doesn't mean that it's lawful before God. I'm not asking you to comment on that, but I'm just saying that's just a simple reality. And we have to have a recalibration in our society to where we recognize when things have an outsized, deleterious impact on everyone. When we stray from God's standards, we suffer harm. You're listening to the Hamilton Corner. My guest is Representative Lori Schlegel, District 82 representative for the House of Representatives in Louisiana. Thanks to her pioneering work, 18 states follow Louisiana's lead in passing laws to protect minors from online smut. We want to continue this conversation on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Hamilton Corner podcast and 1 minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here with my guest, Representative Lori Schlegel from the Louisiana State Legislature, the House of Representatives, District 82's representative. We're having a conversation about the age verification law that she pioneered in Louisiana. Other states follow suit thereafter. Texas's law is being litigated as we speak at the U.S. Supreme Court. Oral arguments took place Wednesday in this case. So I wanted to ask this question, knowing that there are 19 states that have these laws on the books currently. The case before the Supreme Court is styled Free Speech Coalition versus Paxton. Is the Supreme Court hearing Texas's case alone, or have they somehow consolidated all the other states' measures in their address of the Texas legislation?
Yeah, the Supreme Court is hearing Texas's case alone. All of the other states, there are different levels of the court system. Like, I know ours is still at the district court level. Tennessee, I think, is already at the appellate level. So different states are at different phases, I guess, in the court system. So Free Speech Coalition, which is really, don't let the name fool you, because it really just is the Porn Industry's Trade Association.
Yes.
So it's just Texas's case was heard yesterday at the Supreme Court.
What are the arguments that are being asserted by, like you mentioned, the smut peddlers trade unions lawyers? What are the arguments that they're asserting in order to stop this? Because you would think, you would think they would understand that we don't want to hurt children, right? But not so much, I'm sure.
Well, you know, and they give lip service to that. Actually, at the court hearing, they said that the government does have a compelling interest to protect children from this material that is very harmful to them. So they do admit that. They just don't think it's their responsibility, you know, to do anything to protect minors from entering their sites. You know, they stand behind the First Amendment. So they stand behind that pornography is free speech. And when you're dealing with any of our rights, and you should, I mean, these are constitutional rights. And so when you're dealing with any rights, and specifically free speech, they believe that the standard of review is strict scrutiny. So it should be looked at as, you know, with the most amount of scrutiny. And so what we say, just like, you know, brick and mortar stores, when you go and buy a Playboy, that you have to show your ID to prove that you're not a minor. And so it's not some unduly burdensome things for adults mm-hmm. to do. And now with today's technology, it's changed since some of these federal laws that dealing with age verification in the 90s and the early 2000s dealt with. I mean, now, like I said before, you can do anonymous course age verification without getting any kind of identifying information. So nobody knows who you are. It only knows that you're over 18 and that you're allowed to look at this material.
And I'm not asking you to comment on this. This is Abe speaking here. The concept that this smut is speech is absurd. If you look at the precedent beforehand, what happened was that there was a shift in the perception of the American public, largely, not that there was a change in legal status and all of that, because we've had obscenity laws. We still have obscenity laws. But to say that this is speech, it's a far cry. But I'm not asking you to comment on that. I know you're expressing what is the current recognized legal standard by stare decisis and all these other types of things, which is why the smut peddler trade unions lawyers are making these arguments. It's because of what had happened before. But there was a time in America's history where we recognized, we had our collective competence in recognizing, man, this is ridiculous. But what happens invariably as drift occurs, societies drift in a particular direction, then you end up having laws that reflect that. Now, putting that aside for the moment, that was a little mini Abe rant. Sorry about that. putting that aside for the moment, with this particular case in the oral arguments on Wednesday, what were your perceptions of the oral arguments and the justices' responses to the arguments presented by both sides?
Yeah, so overall, my impression is I thought the majority of the justices were sympathetic to the state's plight to protect kids online from pornography and just how the technological landscape that looks nothing like it did 20 years ago when the last Supreme Court on age verification was decided. And so I definitely got that impression, and it's interesting, and I know you're calling it smut. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised. Actually, one of the liberal justices actually referred to it as smut. Mm. And that actually caught me a little off guard just because I wasn't expecting it from one of the liberal justices. But I did get the overall feeling, and even Justice Barrett, who is a mother, and she talked about, you know, how it's just so overwhelming for parents because there's so many devices that kids can get access to. And I think she even mentioned, like, you could see pornography on video game consoles and iPhones. Mm-hmm. And I think the general impression I got is that they were sympathetic to the plight and the overall impression that filtering is not the least restrictive, most effective, because we wouldn't be where we are right now if they were. And so I kind of got the general impression that, you know, that maybe potentially could be a path.
Mm. And is it accurate to say, because this is Texas's laws hearing, do you expect the Supreme Court's ruling on Texas's case to kind of put a wet blanket or to support all of the other states' legislation? Or do you think that this is a scenario where each state could have its own bite at the apple, so to speak?
I do think it could impact our cases since they're all very closely modeled off of each other. Mm-hmm. I know each state sort of put their own little flavor, but it's still age verification. But what I heard from both the petitioner and Paxton, they were saying, look, however you decide, you need to give guidance, right? Because there are many states that are enacting these laws and that want to protect children. Like, whatever standard of review you use, you need to sort of give guidance on this area. Mm-hmm. And so that is what I'm hoping, is that they will, you know, not just rule, but also give guidance.
Mm. it'll be important because, you know, with each state being at a different level in litigation, you know, in some even cases that have made it to the appellate level, having decisions rendered in one direction, it will have an outsized impact on other states and their efforts to do so. Let me just say that I am just so grateful to you for taking this issue on. I so appreciate, as you mentioned before, that you weren't looking to run for office. You were elected in a special election. And then upon taking office, a real life problem that you were confronted with, that you sought to take advantage of your opportunity as a state representative to help protect Louisiana's children from this insanity. And so I just want to tell you I appreciate that because I know that's not easy to do. You know, one of the things that we haven't even talked about is that the pornography industry is one of the most lucrative industries in our nation right now. And so it's a huge fight that I know there were all kind of lobbying efforts that tried to dissuade you, to get you off of the path and all these types of things. And so I just want to tell you as a father and as a husband that I appreciate your efforts. And I pray that your efforts will inspire courage among others. One of the greatest deficits we have in our society among people that are servant leaders is a deficit in courage. And so I view your actions in this particular area as courageous, and I appreciate that. So I just want to tell you, thank you publicly.
I appreciate that. And look, I'm a mom, and even as a legislator, I just feel that I'm so passionate about kids. I mean, obviously, I'm the chair of health education, because they are our future. Mm. And I believe that we're supposed to help them and raise them up to be well-functioning adults so we can have a functioning society. And so I think any effort, and I think that's why you see the whole country sort of rallying, because we really realize how it's really harming our children. I mean, even California, it actually passed out of their assembly unanimously. Now, it got held up in the Senate, but I think they're going to try again.
Really?
And so it's not bipartisan. I mean, it's not a partisan issue. This is bipartisan. And so it's exciting to see where we go from here because our kids have been neglected on online spaces for way too long with no sort of protections. And even with social media, you're starting to just see states rising up and say, hey, you've got to have some protections. Just like in the physical world that we have on other industries, you have to have some reasonable protections to protect our children because it has become just so pervasive and invasive, the internet has. So.
Mm. Considering the bipartisan nature that you were able to advance in Louisiana, have you suffered any backlash or any negative effects of advancing this legislation?
I have not. My body was, like I said, was very supportive of it. We had around 48 co-authors. So these are people that actually put their name to the bill too. And so it just goes to show you, I think if you're a parent, and even if you're not a parent, like if you recognize what our kids are seeing, you just know that it's what the harm it's doing. So,
Representative Slagle, thank you so much for your time. You have been so gracious, even helping us through with the technical difficulties that we face today that are quite frustrating for me. I so appreciate your time and your willingness to take the time to really enlighten our audience here on what's happening in your state, what's happening around the country in this case. That's going before the Supreme Court. And I pray that the Lord continues to guide you and lead you, protect you and your family, and that you would continue to be a shining light in the Louisiana State Legislature and beyond as the Lord would direct your path.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. That was State Representative Lori Schlegel from District 82 in Louisiana. And I just want to present some things to you because I think people underestimate the insidious nature of this. What's happening by and large is these smut peddlers are using it and hiding behind the First Amendment and encroaching upon the innocence and the development of children. Many of the people that are, you know, smut consumers as adults, it's because they started doing it as children. It's because they started doing it as children. I can't tell you the number of people that I have talk to, they come across, they're trying to look for cleats to play sports, they look up Dick's Sporting Goods, and then all this other craziness pops up and it ensnares them at young ages. Lisa Blatt, who is a veteran Supreme Court litigator at the law firm Williams & Connolly, she made this statement, quote, more people watch pornography and view porn each year than vote and read the newspaper. More people. And I know there are a lot of you who are listening to me and you say, because you don't consume this stuff, you are shocked to learn this. But I also know, because of the statistics, there are some who are listening to me right now who will say, yeah, because some of you have consumed it. Some of you have been delivered from it. Some of you may be struggling right now. There are all kinds of things. I can't tell you the number of times where I have counseled with people and married couples, and they're having difficulty in their marriage because they have expectations that have been established by the pornography industry. And they try to bring that stuff in. And it is literally contributing to the reshaping of our nation. If you look at the statistics, and I've said this before, if you look at the history in our nation, the same Supreme Court that decided the abortion case in 1973, Roe versus Wade, is also the same Supreme Court that gave the outsized protection to this industry. And if you look at those two concepts on a chart, if they were to be graphed together, you will see that the ascension in the consumption of illicit, quote-unquote, adult material corresponds with the ascendance of baby murder in our country. Go ahead and look it up. Go ahead and look it up. It's the unspoken reality. Many people in our churches are dealing with this now. I told you about the Barna Group study that was just released in the 2024. 70% of men, 40% of women. In the nation at large, the numbers are also reflective of the same consumption in the church. Guys, sexual immorality is tearing our nation apart. It's tearing our nation apart. And it's going largely unaddressed. And I meant it genuinely when I thanked Representative Schlegel for what she's doing in the state legislature, but more has to be done. The scripture indicates that we are to mortify what is earthly. And here's the thing. God is the one who designed the marital union and the physical intimacy to be enjoyed between a husband and a wife. But the problem is we've allowed the world to almost corner the market on the presentation and the discourse in this area. But there must be a resurgence of the Lord's body's voice in our nation as the pillar and ground of truth. Because I'm telling you, sexual immorality is tearing our nation apart. And it's starting in many instances in the secrecy and isolation of consumption of pornography. By God's grace, we must cry aloud and spare not and confront the wickedness of this insanity.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.